I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 478, the Knot box office report, news and numbers, I don't know.
News and numbers, wow. That works.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did I accidentally make something up?
The Knot office report.
Yeah. So there. That's...
What if we have to report news on The Office?
Oh,
and any
no.
Kind of reunion
no.
Shows?
Oh, my God. Or... How great would that be?
That's television, though.
Sign me up.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you have your own show for that.
That's television.
Well, we could, in the news, we can talk about television news.
I don't know that we can.
Oh, no? Okay. So that whole discussion about Constance Wu from last week is just completely...
Take it out.
But she's in movies. She wanted to leave her TV show to go to a movie, so it counts.
Counts.
Boom.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a guest on the line, and so I want to introduce him so he feels like he can start talking. It's Garrett Wright from Two Views Movies Podcast. Hey, Garrett, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Thanks for waking up early to join us. I know this is early.
Oh, this is late when you have a daughter that plays soccer. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I know that life.
That's why I raised nerds. No early morning sports for me.
What about early morning Pokemon tournaments?
Yeah, they don't need me for that.
You don't need a coach or anything?
Yeah, I mean, I got all thought out.
Put in Charmander.
I did. I got a text like the day before the game. They're like, hey, can you coach on Saturday? I'm not answering that text.
Yeah.
That's, somebody else can answer it.
Smart.
New Thanks. Phone, who dis?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And like another perk of raising nerds completely prevents teenage pregnancy.
Well, what if they find another nerd?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be like that.
Yeah.
Stupid internet.
I know, right? God damn society and its open-mindedness. This should be shoving my kids in lockers so they can't get people pregnant.
Yeah. Get in that locker.
Yeah. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Sorry.
Whoa.
Sorry.
All right.
Apple overlords. Don't come after me because they listen.
Yeah, right.
And I think they have like a bell in their office that goes off whenever someone says iTunes.
It's a Google alert, but it's just for like...
I'm gonna go out on a limb.
Apple doesn't use Google.
Gonna go out on a limb and say Apple doesn't use Google.
I think they might.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's a better system. We're just gonna use that one.
I'm just more shocked that Tim Apple doesn't listen to this podcast. Yeah. I thought he was a subscriber.
But you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. That's why we whore out for it week after week after week. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share the show this week include, but are not limited to, because of privacy.
No, yeah, yeah.
I love that you want to, like, just let them know.
Yeah, like, if you share it and I don't say your name, that's on you, man. Yeah, adjust your privacy settings.
Stop making it so hard to read your stuff.
The government doesn't care which podcast you share. They're not out to get you, man. Travis T. Witt, Chris Magic Man, Lane Levanway, Susan Carlson, Ralph Tribble, Ding Yan Guo, Ron Johnson, Aaron Marlowe, Dylan A. Lang, Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Librarian Cynthia, Zara Vonda Creek. Our favorite snobby Bond villain. Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. Tammy Sherman Powers and Gabriel Lugo. So if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, it's very easy. Go to facebook.com/realspoilers and just share the latest episode.
Ta-da. Boom. Done.
So, also, don't forget our Patreon account. If you like what you're hearing and you want to help out a little bit more, if sharing a show just isn't scratching that itch enough for you, you can throw in $5 a month at patreon.com/realspoilers. You'll get bonus content and the peace of mind of knowing that you've assisted us in some fashion.
Yeah.
And you might end up on the show.
And you could end up on the show.
And you may hear a new episode at some point.
That is true, too. So there, we have done all that. I guess we will. Kevin wants us to bring in news items. Joe, did you do your homework?
I mean, we can talk about how Missouri is getting closer and closer to The Handmaid's Tale.
Wait a minute. No, that's television. Show.
Oh, that's television.
Sorry. Right. Sorry.
I was like, that's...
Escape from New York? Does that count?
That's politics and you're bringing in television. No, that's not what this news report is about.
No, guys. I mean, I think there's really only one big news item.
Well, that's just cheating.
I mean, there really is. I looked
there's
it
only
up.
One thing that happened
there's,
in the past.
There's the morons that were trying, to, you know, a million signatures for a rewrite of Game of Thrones
TV.
All right. Well, those guys are going. He wrote movies.
Okay,
but
that's not true.
Well, hey, I can piggyback on that one for you though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the news broke this week that they're getting the next post Rise of Skywalker Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
That's
creators.
Right.
Good call.
I mean, their track record in film isn't the greatest.
Yeah, and X-Men Origins
X-Men
Wolverine.
Like, of all of them that you've written maybe the worst.
The thing that's frustrating about that petition, okay, the deal with the petition is we all know that's asinine. No one, and the petition to me is satire. It's the guy that created it even explained himself because he was getting a lot of hate and a lot of people instantly shutting it down. It the whole thing was like, let's petition HBO to remake Game of Thrones season 8. And obviously each episode is $10 to $20 million.
Right.
They have a cast, they have schedules. Well, I mean, everybody including him knows they're not going to do that. But the fact that in 3 days it got to a million signatures, that's a huge deal. Like the troll job that was, which was it, the Last Jedi that got
changed.org.
I think at the end of that, and I know it's still a lot, but at the end, they got to like 150,000 signatures at the end of that deal.
Do you think people are signing it ironically, or do you think a million people are pissed at this season?
I think most are. I mean, if you look online at
the
discussion.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. But it's either here nor there. The point, I think, is whether we personally are enjoying it or not, if a million people who are people that are supposed to be buying Game of Thrones t-shirts and pops and collectibles and Blu-ray sets and are supposed to watch one of their 20 spinoffs they're planning.
They're going to watch them. That's the thing.
Well,
that I mean,
you can say that.
You give this 2 years, right? It's going to end tonight. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on Sunday. It's ending tonight. You don't put anything out for 2 years. You let this blow over. Then you're like, oh, by the way, here's the prequel for One of the Dragons.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever they're going to do. And it's going to blow up again.
I think it's going to be a sitcom star where the dragon becomes like a butler for
it's gonna
a family.
It's going to be like dinosaurs.
It's going to be like Mr. Belvedere, but Mr. Belvedere is a dinosaur.
I mean, that's a bold move.
He's a dragon.
It's a bold move.
Yeah.
Well, that might win those million back.
I think that's what I'm saying, though. It's just let this, much like The Last Jedi, I think that Solo and Rogue One kind of got the backlash of Last Jedi. So if they would have just spaced those out. Or wait, was Rogue One first?
Rogue One was before.
Rogue One had backlash? I thought everybody loved
Rogue
One.
No. It was Solo. Solo was the one that got hammered.
That was after.
Yeah. So like if they would have given that some time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know that you're saying time would help, but see, that's back to my point. I still feel that you can say like, oh, that's just a million people and 12 million watch. What's a million people? But look at Solo and how terrible it did all the internet backlash around that. I mean, this will have repercussions and HBO is looking at a million people pissed.
Wait till they just throw like an atom bomb on this season. They're just like, no, first 10 minutes, we blow up everybody. It's over.
I'm watching it. I've been one of the crew that's been disappointed. I'm fine with the endpoints that everybody's getting to, but I feel like the how and the character development has been massively short-circuited. It felt like they tried to back into some endpoints and didn't give themselves enough runway to land it correctly.
I guess my question, did HBO say you've got eight?
No.
They said that.
They said it.
Okay.
So they could go do Star Wars.
Got it.
They said in they said in interviews, the D&D said in interviews, they're like, this is it. And they asked, did HBO come at you with this? And Benioff said, no, HBO would have given us more episodes.
As many as we wanted.
They said they would have had it go forever. I mean, we address this all on show spoilers. I don't want to rehash it too much. But HBO, this is their cash cow.
Oh,
they're
for sure.
Selling subscriptions to this service.
Yeah, I would be interested to see what happens after tonight.
Oh, the subscription drop
off?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've got the comic nerds because they've released that Watchmen trailer.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you that even for me, I was like, I'm not watching that
well,
shit.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you're a huge comic
nerd.
That's not even close.
Yeah,
I mean, and for the casual viewers, Katie's like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm like, oh, I'm going to give it a chance. But people are not excited for that.
No.
So, but Garrett, to your point, I mean, with show spoilers, Brad and I just did a 2-hour long penultimate episode because not only did we go back and review the episode, but we discussed this.
Well, so what are you going to do this week?
What's that?
If you did 2 hours on the episode before the final episode,
well, but
you're going to be recording until next Sunday.
Yeah, no, we addressed all this controversy, though, is the thing, because we had never really gone in far to it, but we addressed the petition, we addressed Benioff and Weiss,
sure.
And the Rush seasons. I'm with Garrett. I've been saying this online, I've been saying it in the show, it's not about the destination, it's the journey. It's all about how you get there, and so I think what Game of Thrones has done is George gave them the plot points.
Sure.
I think we're getting to about the same place. I mean, there could be minor changes.
Sure.
But I think we're getting to around the same place, but people are saying, this is character assassination, and this is ridiculous, which I don't agree with that terminology, but they're saying that because it seems like people are flipping instant, you know, it's not making sense, and that's because they're not giving the time and the build up. So again, go listen to show spoilers. We did the review plus all this stuff. I think that's their ultimate downfall. I'm like certain that if they would have given this another season, even a few more episodes to really develop these motivations, then it would seem organic. But they're really trying to shove it all into this.
Yeah.
I mean, six episodes.
Well, I don't think you can look at it like six. I mean, you have to look at it at least eight because of the extended episodes.
I don't think so. Because,
yeah, I mean, it's the
I think
same.
Saying because the episodes aren't an hour long.
No,
yeah,
that they're
totally,
but see, I don't agree with that cop out though, because the reason that the episodes are longer is like during The Long Night, which is the longest film battle sequence or whatever, they added more battle. I mean, that extra 20 minutes didn't give me any character development, didn't give me any plot.
That's fair.
The stuff they're adding to is like, long battles.
I mean, like if you look at the actual time.
No, I get it. But
time
see,
code
that's
of the season.
I
but,
that's
I,
a,
but I agree where you're saying that like instead
of giving.
The extra
time was never.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
So it's silly. So go, this is seriously, if you feel strongly about this, go listen to show spoilers, see if you agree with Brad and I. Brad's really enjoying it. Brad's more like Joe.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Really enjoying it. And he's like, ah, I see the faults, but I still love it, blah, blah, blah. Me, I love this show, but it's like, I'm not going to just sit by and let them do this and be like, no, it's great.
Oh, you're going to sit by and let them do that because you don't have a say in it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm podcasting for 2 hours about it. That's the thing. It's just sitting by is accepting it. And it's like, what I hope happens with these million signatures, and again, no one in their right mind thinks they're going to redo the series. The creator yesterday like explained himself and wrote this big long thing about why he did it,
yeah.
And it actually, it's really well written, it makes sense. But what I hope they get out of this is HBO goes, hey, we're going to take our time and we're not going to rush this again. I mean,
well, I think the advantage that HBO now has is Double D's are gone.
Yeah,
you know, so they don't have that control. HBO probably assumes a lot more creative.
I think there's a lot of Double D's on Game of Thrones.
I don't think there is.
I think there are.
I don't think so.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
So you haven't watched last
no,
couple.
I haven't. Yeah, there's a lot that are gone.
I gave up a long time ago.
Yeah. So.
But I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those guys kind of had creative control and could kind of do, like, they had free reign to do whatever.
Right.
You bring in somebody who is not as established, and HBO is going to be like, look,
I think they're going to write the contract a little different.
Yeah, right.
Because D&D came in and adapted George's book. No one had done it before. And so when they signed on to do that, they retained a lot of that control. Like, for us to do this, we have this say. And
right.
HBO, when they said, we can give you more, and they said, no, HBO's like, okay.
Yeah,
whereas now HBO's like, you are going
to get more.
Which,
and
it could be good and bad with their creative control. That's, I mean, the show turned out great.
But also, there's no platform for them. You know what I mean? Like, there's no content. So the first, what, five seasons where they had a blueprint.
Oh, right.
When they start
right.
doing these prequels, it's fair game. Yeah. Like, you don't
but
know.
But George just released a book about the Targaryens, so
oh,
there's,
did
a,
he?
There's already a huge
Oh, so he could write
prequel.
That one, but he can't write a new, you know,
it's a fair
six.
Point. It's a fair point.
You but, jerk.
So, but yeah, I hope that at least they learn from this. But the scary thing is, and to this being an actual movie discussion that Garrett brought up,
yeah.
is that now these guys, yeah. Weiss and Benioff, they wanted to wrap up Game of Thrones. Coincidentally, they just got a Star Wars trilogy, so interesting timing.
That is, I feel bad for Rian Johnson at that point.
Well, yeah,
I
mean, his
isn't
dead
his is gone.
Officially, but you don't know. But here's the deal: now you have all these outraged fans, a million in 3 days, and then you know the Star Wars fan
yeah,
base.
Like, who do you really want to piss off?
So
more?
You just gave the most hated television show creators of our time, you know, at this moment, over to Star Wars with the most toxic fans
yeah,
of all time. And
no
like,
kidding,
what a terrible combination.
I'm sure one of us was offering them a check, and then they signed that Disney check, and they were like, "Whoo, Warner, we dodged yeah. that bullet! Thank yeah. God."
Well, yeah, because Warner owns HBO,
yeah.
So it's like, yeah. yeah, it would make sense. Oh, you're leaving Game of Thrones? Come do some DC
come do some
stuff.
DC
yeah.
stuff. And they were just like, "No, we'll go to Marvel." He's like, "Yeah, yeah. you go to Marvel. You go over there.
So
try to tank their thing."
Now, again, they've been successful adapting a property, just like with Game of Thrones and George Martin's books. But you know, if they're going to adapt other comics and stuff, I mean, maybe they'll do a great job with it.
Maybe.
What I'm worried about now is again, the fan base. It's not so much are they competent. They've proven themselves with the first, you know, six seasons or whatever
right.
of Game of Thrones. But now with Star Wars, you're going to have every single thing that happens now.
Under
got this,
a microscope.
This top, yeah, it's just
God
a
forbid they put a woman in the lead.
Oh, gee.
Good yeah. Lord.
Yeah, it's sad. So I think that's the worst part. I mean, we talked about the internet. Thank goodness for the internet or damn the internet. It's you know, it's got great things, but then, you know,
it's awful.
It's your trade-off.
It's a terrible place.
So do you guys think there's any hope, or I shouldn't say hope. Hope's a terrible word in this situation. Do you think there's a chance that we get a repeat of like the Colin, is it Colin Trevorrow or Trevorrow? Remember, he was supposed to do
yeah.
nine and
yeah.
then Book of Henry came out and there was all that stuff and he just got axed immediately. I mean, I don't yeah. see that happening in this scenario because Game of Thrones is so big and it's been in the works for so long. I just think the announcement was poorly timed. I mean, we all knew they were doing it, but they re-sent a press release like, oh, it is the next movie. Like, oh, God, are you guys not aware of what's happening in the world right now? Why would you re-announce that right now?
Yeah, and so I've got the answer for that because I saw it. So Bob Iger, it was never officially announced, but we all knew it. It was all
right.
like sources say this, and it was reported. And so we all knew it was going to happen. But then after like the height of this backlash, and I think it was even maybe after that petition was created, because I think he says that petition was from after episode 3.
Oh, really?
The one where everyone it was too dark and all that.
Yeah.
So it was around then, and then Bob Iger on their conference call, they're like, all right, Disney's like, all right, the height of Game of Thrones. It's hotter than it's ever been. It's the final season, and we're getting the creators of Game of Thrones. They're like, I mean, I think they had that press release. And that
episode 3 happens, you're like, son
yeah,
of a...
But I think they had that announcement timed for months and weeks, and they're like,
yeah.
we're going to announce it at the last season of Game of Thrones when
right.
it's at its height. And they no one ever retracted that. So they still announced it, and it ended up being the worst timing.
That's what happens when you auto-schedule your tweets.
I don't think they'll pull them off of the movies. I think they'll give them the 3 and just see what happens.
Oh.
You know, like they're not going to give them 3.
I think they'll give them the 1.
They'll give them the 1.
And if the
that's
first
what
one
I'm saying.
Tanks,
if
then they're gone.
If yeah. it's, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, they're
probably
gone. If the first one tanks, they're yeah. gone.
I don't think it'll tank though. I think it'll make money on the name alone. But
well,
Solo,
go tell that to Ron Howard.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, no, go tell that to the other two,
Lord and
no,
Miller.
Ron, I mean, but yeah.
you can't blame Ron Howard for that. Ron Howard.
No, I don't think Ron Howard did anything wrong.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you're saying it's going to make money on the name alone, and I'm saying it
Solo
did.
Solo didn't.
Ron
it
Howard
did
had to embrace that loss.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know? I don't know. Does he though? Like because he was.
Yeah, he's directed most of that movie, and his name's on it.
But
I guess that's true.
I also think though that he took over a troubled project.
Yeah.
He didn't get to shepherd that thing from the beginning.
Yeah. That's
so
like
he
saying,
doesn't bear the same level of responsibility because he came in and did a favor.
Yeah, that's like sure. saying Joe Johnson's responsible for the Wolfman. Like he came in 3/4
yeah.
of the way through that production and tried to fix that
yeah.
movie.
I don't mean I'm blaming
could.
Him because I
yeah.
like Solo. What I mean is that he still at the end of the day like has to deal with it.
But they also
you know,
they're also smart too. Like I think so Skywalker is the last one for like 3 years.
Well, they
like
put
they're taking a break.
I think I think there's a reason for that.
Sit. I mean, yeah. I think the Mandalorian I think comes out
at launch. Yeah, in November.
Okay, so you'll have some Star Wars out there.
Oh, absolutely.
But
they're smart to let it breathe because this is the end of a series that's been going since 77, the Skywalker saga. I mean, this is a long running series, so I think that's smart to not be like, all right, we need another Star Wars movie next year. Like, they're like, okay, we accept that, let's give it some time.
Yeah,
and you got the series,
let the show
got,
come out, and that's are they doing binge worthy, or is it day for day, or is it like
week by week? Yeah,
that's I like that better anyway.
Yeah so we'll see how it goes. I guess the only other big topic, unless Tom has something that you want to bring up, is the Batman.
I did something smaller, but
yeah, what's that?
That Stan Lee's business manager got arrested.
He did.
Yeah, he
for
got
elder
for
abuse.
Elder abuse. So they.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Well, I mean, it's sad that he did it.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Sad that
okay,
he got arrested.
Yeah. It's, like, remember the last year of his life? How much of a mess that was?
Yeah.
People saying the daughter was taking advantage of him and the business manager, and then there was like his previous that guy took over. That's going to jail because they fired the other two because they were supposedly.
Yeah.
He convinced Stan that the other two were mismanaging his money.
And then Kevin Smith is like, you know what? Just let him move in with me.
I know.
Like,
right?
I'll take care of him.
Totally.
But yeah, that's exactly where that. I mean, you had to know at some point this was going to happen. You know what I mean? Like
A lot of times people get away with that, especially in Hollywood. I mean, you hear tons of stories about Hollywood celebrities getting taken advantage of in their declining years. And when have you ever heard of someone getting arrested for
that's
it?
That's true. That's true.
If this wasn't Stan Lee, who is just like next level, like with the Marvel stuff that's so popular, I feel like maybe, and not that it's right or wrong, but it's like, I think because it was Stan Lee, they definitely got to the bottom of it. Like, he had enough.
I think it's just the time we live in. The people are more concerned about it. Because, I mean, it famously happened to Groucho Marx, and he's a bigger celebrity than Stan Lee ever was. And,
oh, well, yeah, the time for certain.
Yeah,
days.
And nobody did a thing
just
about
it.
Yeah. So,
well, F that guy. Literally.
Allegedly.
Wait, what?
I mean, like, when he goes to jail.
literally.
when he goes to jail.
All right, well.
And then, I guess there was one big news thing to this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny is I remember just doing this. We literally, like,
I know. Oh, imagine how I feel.
but I mean, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, sure. We know that with the casting of Batman, all the way back to Michael Keaton, who people were like, oh, Mr. Mom, he can't be Batman. But it's like we just 5 years ago were talking about the very
episodes called.
Affleck is Batman. You should go pull that conversation we had about Ben Affleck
just paste it here.
And just edit in us going
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. It's like we just had this. And so, you know, history always repeats itself.
Yeah.
But this is so recently. And
This was coming. We knew when Matt Reeves, when Affleck was not.
Oh, he got kicked off the project.
Right.
So we knew it was.
And when Matt Reeves took over, we knew it was not going to be Affleck. We knew we were going to get a new Batman. I got to tell you, this is not who I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you're probably not a fan of Robert Pattinson in general.
So I'm not a fan of the work I've seen.
Well, that's what I mean. So you haven't seen
seen
his other stuff. So I think that's the main problem with the internet. I don't know how, are you familiar with his filmography, Garrett?
So I'm aware of his filmography. The one that I've seen that really started to get me to think that he was into something was The Rover. But I have not seen, obviously I haven't been out to the theater to see High Life yet. There's a few others that I think it's called High Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen a lot of the other ones that people are staking his reputation on, but I can see the potential there for sure. So I'm in the middle. I'm not, you know, I'm
outraged,
not angry, I'm not outraged,
yeah.
And I'm also curious. So I'm kind of in the middle on this one.
So you mentioned Matt Reeves. So he directed the Apes movies.
Oh,
that trilogy was...
No, he didn't do the first one. He
took over for two and then three.
Yes, two and three, yeah.
Who did the first one? I forgot about that.
Some guy.
No, it's somebody. I just attach him now to that.
No, he did two and three.
Okay.
He did not do one.
Okay, but we know Matt Reeves is a trusted director.
And he's very trusted. I mean, what he did with those two, was it Battle... And War?
No, Rise was the first one.
Rise.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Dawn,
and then
there is,
and then War.
Okay,
there you go.
But I mean, like the CG on those gorillas and the simians was next level. Like, and the emotion that he was able to capture on those. And I guess that's really not.
I mean, that's
him.
Andy Serkis for sure. But his writing, his direction. You have to direct people how to act with humans and the apes and everything. But
it was Rupert Wyatt.
There you go. Yep. So we trust the director. We know Matt Reeves is proven, and not just the Apes, but his other work. And then Robert Pattinson, the thing is, a lot of people, I mean, the generic response is, oh, the guy from Twilight. But the deal is, I mean, he was an actor doing a job.
Yeah, he got paid. He got paid to do a job, and he did a job.
He did a job.
Based on box office and fan reaction, extremely successfully.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Is like when you say that he did Twilight, Mr. Mom, real genius, Newsies.
Michael Keaton was in Newsies?
No. Michael Keaton was Mr. Mom. Val Kilmer.
Oh, you're
was
talking about all
genius.
The other Batman, right?
Christian Bale was in Newsies. Yeah. Like it's so.
First off, Real Genius is amazing.
I'm not saying it's not. So is Mr. Mom. I only went to Newsies because it's the youngest I could think of him in.
Empire of the Sun.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But
Terminator Genesis.
But yeah, Val Kilmer had done other stuff. Like I wasn't following because the thing is, Robert Pattinson is most famous for one thing, whereas these other actors, even though they had done them, they were famous for other things. Right?
I don't think Keaton was. Like,
oh, Keaton was very famous
as far as like being a dramatic actor.
Oh, for other things. No, okay.
Yeah,
I thought
he was a comedy guy,
but he's still known highly for them.
Sure. Yeah.
Robert Pattinson is infamous for Twilight,
and he also did a movie before Batman came out to kind of
was that the Tenant one.
No, Pacific Heights came later. He did a movie called Clean and Sober.
Oh.
And it was basically he did it just to be like, here's what I look like in drama. and he did it. I mean, obviously, we didn't have the internet back then, but he did it more for the critics to be like, okay, he doesn't have to be the funny guy. And now when I see him in Batman, I've already adapted that in my head, you know?
That makes sense.
But
the thing is with Robert Pattinson, people do that generic thing. He's the guy from Twilight, but Twilight made a ton of money. He famously did not enjoy the movies because he wanted to be taken seriously.
Was that his first gig? Like his first, he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he was in Harry Potter for like 20 minutes.
He
was a pretty big role in that.
Like Goblet of Fire. Yeah. So he had done other things, but that was his claim to fame. He made his money. But you notice that ever since then, it's not like he has been in just romantic teen dramas. Like he did Twilight, and now he does the art house stuff. Like he wants to be taken seriously. And if you've seen his other roles, the one that I point everybody to, and one, because it's really good, two, it's on Amazon Prime, which most people have access to, is Good Time. That is an excellent movie. The first one.
You would think that no one besides J.J. Walker could ever take on that role, but he really gets lost in the role.
Was that Good Times?
Yeah.
Good Time. It's totally different.
It's a prequel.
Right. Yeah.
So go watch that movie and then come back to me. And that's what I post online because I posted this and I was expecting, at least in our group, I thought maybe we'd get a few more. There were a few there, but I was thinking maybe people had seen that other stuff. And a lot of people are just like, oh, Sparkly Vampire, Twilight. So seriously, and I know a lot of that's coming from not giving him a chance in the other stuff. So do it. Watch Good Time. It's on Prime. It's excellent. But I remember after Twilight, or maybe during Twilight, where there was that movie Remember Me. Around the 9/11 stuff, and he was really good in that. Like,
the movie was stupid,
but his performance
he was good.
And so when I saw him in that, I'm like, oh, okay, this guy could act. And that's where I started giving him a chance in other stuff, because not only his success with Twilight, like he can do the job, but like, wow, he has that range. So go watch Good Time, and then that's way more accessible than High Life. Like Brad was talking to me about High Life the other day. I mean, that's a very art house. Don't just jump into that. It's like, oh, I've seen Twilight. Let me watch High Life. Like, watch Good Time first. It's easier to, you know, ease into that. But
yeah, it's, you know, so here's the to me, he's small. And he's the same size as me. When I think of Batman, I think
Michael Keaton, though.
Yeah. And I have to remember that.
The suit.
The Keaton's like 5'9".
Yeah. I still remember
this
something
guy's like 6'1".
Tim Burton said when he made Batman originally, and I think it still holds true. He's like, the secret isn't to cast Batman, it's to cast Bruce Wayne.
That's true.
Because
anybody
like,
can be Batman.
Yeah, because he's like, Batman's going to be a stunt guy in a suit.
Right.
For the most part. He's like, you need to get them to believe Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is true. Which is absolutely true.
And Pattinson, I mean, he can play that, you know, the playboy billionaire part, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that I was talking to Slappy McGee on the boards the other day. And we were talking about Cosmopolis or whatever. And that was from 2012. I saw it and I really can't remember. I don't think
that
was.
I feel like that was bad.
It got very mixed reviews. Yeah. And I saw it and I don't think I remember loving it or anything. But still, I think the fact that he can play that role, I mean, he's proven himself and others too. But it's like he was a playboy billionaire in that. And they probably looked at him and with the money and with dressing like that. And I think they at least got the image like that works. Like if you see pictures of him, I think he can pull it off.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. This isn't this isn't some unsullied franchise that's batting that's
totally
a thousand.
True.
You
totally
know what I mean?
True.
Like, if all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to cast Peter Dinklage as your new Iron Man, like, I could get people, like, giving him a little bit of side eye, as much as I love Peter Dinklage, right?
Right.
But it's like, come on. These DC movies, they've shed the bed so many times.
That is very true.
They can let them swing for the fences. It might be great, it might be awful, but it's like, but honestly, thus far, I honestly don't think they've ever cast a bad Batman. Even George Clooney. George Clooney was not the problem with that movie. Yeah.
George Clooney's an awful Batman.
Bruce Wayne. He even says he sucked as Batman. But, like, he's the worst Batman for sure.
But
Bruce Wayne.
Because George Clooney in real life is Bruce Wayne.
So was Affleck.
Yeah. Right.
But Affleck's a good Batman.
Yeah.
Affleck's an awesome looking Batman.
He looks awesome, sure.
It's the movie he's in. Yeah. But I think Affleck was a great. He's one of the most intimidating, I think, other than Keaton, Affleck with his size, the costume,
he looked good.
Yeah,
it was not. I mean, he didn't have anything to work with.
He didn't write.
It should have worked.
It should have worked. That's what I mean.
So here's the thing: is we know he's going to be in the movie. We know that's done.
Yeah, that usually happens.
Right.
So
they've announced that he is going to be going up against the Penguin and Catwoman.
That's the rumor. Sure.
Who do you cast? So for me. I was looking at the gal.
Obviously, Kristen Stewart.
You're
answering your own. This is obvious.
And Josh Gad.
If they did that, though, I almost want them to do that for the internet to explode.
Oh my God. Who's the gal from Tomb Raider?
Vikander.
Alicia Vikander. Yeah.
Yeah. There's your Catwoman.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I have no idea. I mean,
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Sure, if it was Michael Keaton again, that would work.
So Josh Gad as Penguin, though, is...
I mean, he's been lobbying for that. Kevin Smith.
Patton Oswalt or Josh Gad as the Penguin.
Patton Oswalt, I think, did something.
He did it in a funnier die.
But he was more doing, like, a riff on the
Burgess
old...
Meredith.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then... But the thing that I don't like is they're like, there's going to be a bunch of villains. And I was like, don't.
Don't make this mistake.
I've always liked the idea of in Batman Year One, the Frank Miller, Dave Mazzucchelli book, where he's just fighting the mob.
Yeah.
Like he shows up to Gotham. Gotham's a mess. Yeah. And he's just trying to, you know, there's that great scene where he blows up the main, like, big window thing. And he's like, you've been feeding on the lives of Gotham. And now that I'm here, that stops. I'm like, give me
that. He hadn't created the villains yet.
Yeah.
They came to.
But give me that Batman where he's not fighting the Joker. He's not fighting. And that's the
thing.
Which
is what,
like,
Ben Affleck would have been great at.
I think that would have been really good is him fighting the street level stuff.
But could you imagine Ben Affleck punching the crap out of Jared Leto's Joker? Just
anybody punching the crap out of Jared Leto.
I know. That's what I'm saying. What a missed opportunity.
You do get that. You do get that in Suicide Squad.
Well, okay. Maybe a little bit. I didn't.
But like that's my fear is that they're going to try to throw too much against the wall.
I don't think so. I hope that's not the case. Matt Reeves is a great writer. He wrote those Apes movies.
Yeah.
He's a great director. He's planning this out for a trilogy. I think he's going to be smart. I think you got to trust in. That's why Warner, to their credit, they're not just hiring a director that's good at making pretty things.
No, that's true.
They're hiring Matt Reeves, who's an expert storyteller, and now I trust that if he casts Robert Pattinson, Matt Reeves isn't like, I really just want to throw away my trilogy and be a joke. Like, he rigorously
saw something there.
He knows
what does your suit look like?
Oh, I don't even know.
Redesign your suit. Do it right now. What would you make it look like?
I like the gray and black.
Right.
I like kind of like the new 52, but not the yellow thing.
I would do the gray bodysuit with like a navy blue, like a dark navy blue cowl.
That is my favorite.
Not the Jim Aparo, like bright blue.
No, that's my favorite Neil Adams.
Not that bright.
Okay, like, but it's a little dark. It's not super bright. I do like the Neil Adams gray and blue, though.
And, I mean, if you want to go crazy, throw the yellow on the emblem.
See, that's the only thing I don't like. I don't like the yellow.
Well, they have a target.
There's a target. To get him to shoot at his chest instead of his head.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's it. That's why it's yellow.
Yeah.
No, right. I know. I don't like the outline. I don't like the outline.
Oh, no. Do the oval.
Oh, okay.
The Keaton oval.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I just don't like it with all dark colors and then that outline in yellow. I was never a fan of that.
I like that, too, because it gives him a target.
There you go.
So I had one thing I wanted to mention.
Absolutely.
Please. I've done this little connect the dots in my head, right? Because usually when we talk Batman and casting, the one thing that gets thrown out, right, is Heath Ledger. That everybody was totally wrong on Heath Ledger.
Yeah, absolutely they were.
But the thing that kind of sells me on Pattinson is he's kind of got that same Heath Ledger to him, but he also just got cast in Christopher Nolan's new movie, right? So he's got kind of the blessing of Nolan from, I don't know what his role is going to be in this next movie, but I'm a big Nolan fan, and he's done right by the Dark Knight franchise. So it's kind of like, in a weird way, if Nolan's willing to bless Pattinson, and then Matt Reeves is willing to bless Pattinson, I'm like, all right, there's something there.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, these are directors we trust. This isn't just Warner going, we need a hunky heartthrob.
Right.
This is Matt Reeves.
And he's young. I think he's like 33. Yeah. So, I mean,
and if it brings more women to the franchise,
why not?
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no,
just
it's
like
not
the
a bad
MCU,
thing.
How that's like a 50-50 split with the demographic.
Right.
I mean, you've got, you know, it's not just for guys.
Right.
And so if you can do that with the Batman movies, which I don't think at this point, other than Aquaman, I think for obvious reasons, had a uptick in female viewership, but I don't think the DCU is EU, whatever they're calling it, is
they've
as
cast
diverse
one, they've,
as,
they've cast one woman,
yeah,
you know, one woman that is staying in this thing,
right? And now you look at
Gal
Endgame, look at how many women are in the MCU,
they could do their own Avengers movie
with just the
women,
they could, great point, Garrett. I mean, it's very true, and I trust Nolan. I mean, he's definitely one of the best directors out there. Right,
I wanted
now,
Gyllenhaal, but I guess that's not good.
Oh, that's who I wanted too.
Yeah, because he would have been great.
Was he supposed to be in someone else's?
I mean, he's in Spider-Man.
No, he's supposed to be in Darren Aronofsky's Year One.
Oh.
Wasn't he close to being Spider-Man like 20
Tobey
years
Maguire
ago?
Tobey Maguire hurt his back on Seabiscuit, and then Gyllenhaal was like lined up, ready. They had him fitted. He was ready to go.
Toby's like, no,
and
I
then
can
Toby's
do it.
Like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
He's like, I've been doing these dance classes to work the kinks out of my back.
So Gyllenhaal would have been Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2.
Gotcha.
Which is
he
the best.
Taken over?
Yeah.
Oh,
They had him ready to go. And then
which
he
is
got
perfect
hurt.
Because I've always said that before that Brothers movie, I was like, these two look identical. They should play family members. And they do a movie called Brothers. I'm like,
where they are brothers.
I've been saying this. We'll see what ends up happening, but I think you just have to trust the casting, and even if you don't agree with it, it's like, we haven't seen it. Wait and see.
Well, I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and looks like we have finally dethroned the king, as most people thought would happen this weekend. John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. I want to make sure we get that whole...
Which I got to tell you, when they reveal what that, like, why it's called Parabellum, I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
And I like that they did it kind of towards the end, and especially
it was like a throwaway line.
Yeah, and through subtitles, so it wasn't as much like, I'm getting ready for the Parabellum. So, no, but we'll get into that one next episode. It is the movie of the week, but it also made an estimated $59.3 million, which is a good opening for these movies. I'll tell you what. So, the original John Wick.
I mean, that's more than Shazam made.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that goes to show you how huge this franchise is.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the original John Wick, and seriously, like, I loved it since that one came out, but I had to tell everybody about it. People had not seen John Wick.
Well, Keanu was kind of one of those guys. You were not going to go. He couldn't open a movie.
No.
He was kind of, you know, and then he comes out.
It's crazy. He's a star again.
And you're just like, a Keanu Reeves action movie? Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And then you see it, you're like, when did we get the, okay.
So good, yeah, and obviously it's warranted. Three of these are the sequels that are warranted, their quality, and we'll get into this third one and how they do it. But the original John Wick had $43 million domestic total.
Oh, wow.
This opened to $59 million, so that's how far these have grown. But yeah, I remember spreading the good word, like ding dong, I heard the good word about John Wick.
Yeah.
And now, look, it's a franchise that's as reliable as, you know, a lot of the other big ones out there. So, and then, just real quick, I wanted to say that John Wick 2 had $92 million total, so it doubled the first one's total.
Great.
And I think I'm just looking at domestic here, but it doubled the first one's total. So it shows you that, like, after that first one and the word of mouth, people showed up in theaters.
Right.
And that's the same thing this director says. He says, keep showing up. We'll keep making them.
Yeah.
But
and that's,
guys.
And then they started copying that. They had
that
Charlize
International
Theron,
or
which
whatever.
The Charlize Theron one.
Oh, no.
Oh,
there
like
was Atomic
Blonde.
There was that one that was like the hotel.
Oh, Hotel Artemis.
There we go.
They've got a show coming up.
No, they don't.
No, called, but the Continental.
Oh, yeah, do they really?
Yeah.
So, I just saw a trailer for Anna.
Right,
which looks exactly like this.
Well, this movie sets up spinoffs.
Oh, absolutely it does. Well, Anna is basically, look, they say it's from
It's Luc Besson.
Did he write and direct it?
I'm guessing. That's it's from the guy that did
it
all the...
It looks better than Lucy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, when they put Lucy up there, I'm like, why don't you just put Fifth Element up there? Like, why are we talking about... I think
because you need Lucy, because you need a movie that's not 30 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, also, Lucy made a boatload of money.
Yeah, that was
I know,
a huge
but
hit.
Just to me and people that... For most people that have seen Lucy, still.
Oh, I'm not defending the quality of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful, but it made a ton of money.
It did make a ton
and
of money.
I think Fifth Element is like, that's great if you're 40,
sure.
You know, but that's not who they want to go see the movie.
No, but it looked, that also, it looks, that trailer looks badass.
Yeah.
Like, it looked pretty cool.
Looks like it's getting much better. So, yeah, we'll get into that one next. And let me get back to my chart here. Okay. So, coming in number two, obviously, no surprise here, Avengers Endgame. So, with a 54% drop, that's $29 million. Total, just a cool $770 million domestic. Joe, real quick guess on the worldwide
2.7.
Well, that would be awesome. Not quite there yet.
All right.
About $1.8 billion foreign. So, we're looking at worldwide before the final weekend totals, $2.54 billion.
And all people are just like, it's not going to beat Avatar. And I posted somewhere, I was like, Avatar was out for 34 weeks.
Yeah, this is week
This is week four. So
you think Disney's not going to let it stick around or do whatever? Like,
they're going to re-release it with extra footage.
If they have to tack on that Luis wrapping up the thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. The 10 minute.
Another
yeah.
quick news item on the boards, the forum, the group. I guess I'm old, Sean.
The forum.
on the message boards. But apparently the Ant-Man favorite character, Luis,
yep.
he did film a recap of the entire MCU, 10 years.
Yep.
So
it exists.
I guarantee you that they're going to try to hedge their numbers there with that added on. If it starts really slowing down,
they're smart.
They already tacked on the Spider-Man trailer to the end.
Right.
I would not be surprised if they go, hey, now go see Endgame and you get special 10-minute recap.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I think it's
going to break the record.
Yeah, it's got $200 million to go.
Right,
it's worldwide.
It'll do it.
I think so too. What do you think, Garrett? Will it break the record?
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah, I think so. There's no way Disney doesn't let it. Just it's worth Disney to do whatever they have to do.
If Disney will buy $50 million for the tickets,
yep.
Yeah, well, don't go there because you know that's
subject
of much controversy.
I think Star Wars might be a number two. Maybe.
Do it again? I don't think
so. No, I don't think it'll do it again, but I think it'll be the second grossest.
No, then it'll have to beat Avatar, and Endgame's hardly beating Avatar.
I guess that's true.
There's no way. Yeah. This was like a insane... I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. Like
Titanic.
Endgame. Yeah, I mean, that's the
Avatar.
Closest. And this destroyed Titanic. So it's this is the perfect storm. So we'll see where that one ends up, but I agree. I think it will break that record. Number three, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, our movie from last week. Go listen to that episode. $24 million, so a 56% drop for that one as well. So I think still a pretty solid drop going up against John Wick and Avengers.
Yeah.
$93 million domestic, so that's on a $150 million budget. $112 overseas.
There it is.
So right there, you're almost, I think after this weekend, we'll be at $200 million on a $150 in 2 weeks. So it's a pretty solid number. Again, with the competition, I don't think...
They can't be sneezing at that. That's pretty impressive.
I think
considering what it's going up against.
Given the time, and also they've already greenlit the sequel, so it's. I think they're pretty confident that in the coming weeks and home video and at least creating this cinematic universe, like this was kicking it off, and with the popularity and the great reviews, like it's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, and this isn't their core product.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So
all it does is elevate the core product.
Right.
Yeah, the games and the cards. I was talking to Steven and Aaron, and I was like, I just found out this movie's based on a game, and I didn't bring it up during the episode I meant to. So Detective Pikachu was actually a full game.
What do you mean a full game?
It was a video game. It was a game about Detective Pikachu. This movie is based on a game. It's not based on just Pokemon.
Detective Pikachu was a game.
They adapted like a full game about a Detective Pikachu, and there's a plot, and there's recorded dialogue and everything.
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
No, it's not Ryan Reynolds. It's a guy that sounds a lot like Danny DeVito, and that's why a lot of people want Danny DeVito to do the voice. There was a video going around like, this is why they wanted Danny DeVito to do this. And the guy has that really like gruff voice.
No, we're going to get Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You're fine.
So anyway, doing very well, and yes, it's only going to sell more of those games now and more of the cards, so I think they're very happy with that. So we'll see where that ends up as well. Number four, A Dog's Journey, the other movie. Isn't that interesting to open a John Wick movie for the Dawes movie.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Interesting choice, especially
and,
given
and this time John Wick killed the dog.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, weird twist by $50 million.
Well, that's true. A Dog's Journey made $9 million, so that's the sequel to A Dog's Purpose, which I did not see that one, but I guess you said it was a direct sequel, right? Like, it's the same character, Dennis Quaid is in that one, and it's like,
It's like, you know, if you like to watch a dog dying repeatedly.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, so anyway.
What a twist that they got Randy Quaid to do the voice of the dog.
Oh, that's why he's dying repeatedly. Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's actually Josh Gad.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty good.
So does he do all the dogs? Like, as they reincarnate, he's still
there? Yes, that way the kids aren't quite so sad that the dog keeps dying because it's the same
dog
personality from dog to dog.
But
it's just different breeds of dog. What?
They don't hear him talk, do they?
No.
It's not like a...
No, only the audience. Okay. You're like hearing the dog's thoughts.
Inner monologue.
Right.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Thought bubbles.
So yeah. $9 million on that one. I do not have a budget on it, but I'm guessing they're pretty... modest budget. I can't imagine it being much more than like a $10, $15 million
Dennis
movie.
Dennis Quaid's gas money. Yeah.
So don't have too much information on that one. So we'll have to see if they come out with a budget and what they end up saying.
Yeah, the real advantage is, you know, all the dogs
just
are trying to one picture deals. Actually, like one fifth of a picture deal.
Yeah, right.
No, seriously, we killed six of these dogs.
We killed every one of these dogs in this picture.
But in dog years, that's a three picture deal.
Yeah.
So it's authenticity.
It all works out. The Hustle. At number 5 in its second week in release, that's $6.1 million, a 53% drop. Its total is now at $23 million domestic. It has 13 overseas, so it's around 30-something on an undisclosed budget. I don't think that's what they wanted for that movie.
Nope. No, it can't be.
Comedies aren't super expensive, but you've got the cast, and seems like they have some location shooting, so I don't know.
Maybe that was just a nice little vacation for
A little write-off for vacation. So, it's too bad. I mean, that original Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is a classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, as we mentioned.
Is that Mike? That's Michael Caine, right? Michael Caine and Steve Martin?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Go watch that if you've never seen that. What a great movie, directed by Frank Oz. So, number 6, we've got The Intruder with another $3.8 million, a 47% drop, $27 million domestic on that one on an $8 million budget.
Speaking of Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think I mentioned it last episode, but seriously, I saw The Intruder for the last thing I saw Dennis Quaid in, and then I go to the movie, and I saw that, and then I go to Detective Pikachu, and you've got this like sweet, cute little dog movie. Yeah. Dennis Quaid is there smiling, and it is so hard after you see The Intruder to picture him not
being a nice guy.
I mean, he's just so crazy.
Wouldn't have been funny if when they announced the Dennis Quaid playing this role in The Intruder, the internet was outraged.
Why?
Like, because he makes these dog movies. He can't possibly be in this movie where he plays a crazy guy.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even get them ideas. I have a feeling that's almost what every announcement's going to be from now on. And here's the petition. We're just attaching it to the announcement.
Wait till they cast Michael B. Jordan as Superman.
Yeah. Mm.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, he's great. Number 7, Long Shot with $3.4 million, a 46% drop, $25 million domestic, $7 million overseas, actually, so pretty good for a comedy there. That's, again, on an undisclosed budget. I don't know what's going on. Not a lot of budget updates on these ones. I guess, coincidentally, it's on the ones that aren't doing.
Yeah.
So, guess they're not openly. I think they're like, here's our, you know, they report, oh, my God, we're making all this money on this budget. But
like, swinging a mess.
A little slower
to
come out on these ones. And, again, I think that's bad timing. That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
Because everyone
says
how good it is.
Yeah. It was solid.
Yeah. So, anyway, did you see Long Shot, Garrett?
No, I haven't. But, man, it's been getting tons of love online, and I really want to find a time to sneak out and go see it.
Yeah, well, it might be on home video in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
at this rate, I mean, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I think the release window, you know, the gap is closing. If it doesn't do what they want at the theaters.
Right. Especially coming out next week, where I think there's two fairly big releases next week.
Yeah, well, so unfortunate for that one, but yeah, I definitely want to go see that one when I can. Number 8, The Sun Is Also a Star. That's another new release, but opening at number 8, do you think maybe the young adult craze is over with these movies?
Well, this is also like, it's young adult, but it's like just a straight up romance.
Oh,
and it's a snooze.
Oh, is
oh,
it?
You did see
I
it?
Saw it. It's a snooze. Wow, but it's
I mean, best-selling novel, just like all these other young adult stuff that comes out.
What constitutes a best-selling novel at this point? Because I feel like everything is a best-selling novel.
Well, no, they're just not adapting the non-best-selling novels.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Everything's a best-selling novel. Yeah. No, Joe, that's not
based on the novel that really stunk up the
was
joint.
Semi-okay.
Yeah.
Which sometimes there are gems that you can find, but Hollywood isn't usually banking banking on those.
Right. They want something with a built-in audience. But yeah, like it was, it's basically just these two walking around and talking
for
90 minutes.
Which, I mean, look at the movies like Before Sunset, After Sunset. I mean, there are movies that can do this very well.
This ain't one. Right. But they're out
there. I mean, the concept is
top
not like.
Five? Chris Rock movie top five.
But it's like that concept can work. It doesn't mean that it has to work, but it's like, it's not like, oh, they're just two people talking. This sucks. Like it, they do it. I mean, a lot of Woody Allen movies are people walking around talking, right?
My Dinner with Andre. Yeah, absolutely. But I will say one of the things I liked about it though, was that, it's them walking around New York. So you see lots of footage of New York.
Oh, so like, they're actually walking around New York.
Yeah. So it's, it will be in, 20 years, quite the time capsule of what New York looked like
and you were
in
just
2019.
There.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty.
This is what New York looks like. So, I don't know.
They didn't stage it on Grand Boulevard.
Right.
But it was just, I think it's the problem that young adult novels have sometimes in that it's a profound message if you're 13. But as an adult, you're like, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah.
But the premise of it is that he just finds this woman on the street and they start talking and he says, I bet you I can make you fall in love with me in a day.
Yeah. It's that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's based on, this is a real thing. It's based on, these people did a study of trying to make people fall in love, and that they would give them questions to ask each other, and then they made them look in each other's eyes, and that, like, basically saying, like, falling in love is based on like this kind of intimacy of connecting, but then also the questions and that kind of create the intimacy, and that they said that it more often than not it would work, and so that's what he's doing, and I'm making it sound a lot more manipulative.
It does sound
than,
I'm not gonna lie,
than it is. And or at least that it is within the context of the film, you know, like.
But I saw a trailer for this, and call me a skeptic, or maybe it's because I'm not 13, but like I see the trailer because I saw it in the theater. I don't usually watch them, but not that I really care for this one either.
Right.
But I saw the trailer, and it's like, and then he tries to convince her, and they have this nice day, and then she's like, I'm not from here. I have to leave and all this.
My parents are leaving.
But I'm just not buying it. I'm like, they just met. I don't know. As an adult who is married, I just, to me, them just meeting and then trying to make me feel this emotion for them, it just...
Well, it really what it comes down to is these two didn't really have any chemistry together.
If you're going to do a movie like this.
Yeah, if they did, then I think you would buy it. And they don't, so you don't.
Yeah.
But that was my... I mean, and they're both fine actors. It's not... It's just there's that intangible aspect of, but them together... Do you
buy that?
Do you buy that? Do you root for
that? That's what Richard Donner said. He's like, I can make a Superman movie, but you won't believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can make you believe in Lois and Clark, then I can, everything else is a breeze.
Yeah.
But it's getting you to believe in them first.
Yeah.
And then going
from there. Is it real time? Does it all take place in a couple hours? Or is it like...
No, it takes place over probably 48 hours.
It's one long tracking. It's a 24-hour tracking shot.
Hey, Woody Harrelson did that. I still want to see that movie. One Day in
Paris
or something.
Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see that movie. I'm like,
it was an Amazon thing or something, wasn't it? Or was
he
it in theaters?
Put it on Amazon. It was in theaters for one night. And it was one tracking shot, a live film.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know, but anyway, all right, well, yeah, $2.6 million on that one. So I'm really starting to see these things fade. I know that there's outliers, but they've been trying a lot of these young adult adaptations, and I think maybe people are finally just kind of, unless they're really good, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 9, we have Palms, Tom's favorite movie of 2019.
Oh boy.
Yeah. $2.2 million. I still can't believe that's making that much money. That's I never saw that as a movie that...
People movie.
Two weeks, but still, 2 weeks, $10 million?
That's a lot of old people.
It's a lot of money.
Lots of buses.
So get Tom's mini review on that last episode of the Not Box Office Report. And rounding out the top 10, Ugly Dolls, the movie.
Hanging on.
$1.5 million, that's $17.1 million in 3 weeks. But as we mentioned last time, it is a $45 million budget, so $17 million worldwide on a $45 million.
You're fired.
Whoops.
Yeah. That's it. And that's the box office report.
Well, thank you, Kevin. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And Garrett, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TwoViewsGarrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, because nobody ever spells my name right.
Do you want to give a little talk about your podcast?
Yeah. So me and a buddy of mine, we've been friends forever, watch way too many movies, finally decided to turn it into a podcast. That's why we call it Two Views. Him and I usually have difference of opinions, but sometimes we overlap. But we talk about the latest releases pretty much, and then we'll randomly throw in like a top five list or a retro review of something older. So weekly at Two Views Movies, that's where you can find me.
Do you ever talk about whether or not it depends what time of day you see a horror movie to make it good? Have you ever had that conversation?
So that's a lot of what got the podcast started, because him and I have really stupid arguments about stuff like that, and it's fun to see it spill over either onto Twitter or into the podcast, because yes, we do argue about that.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Well, then you can find the show online, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, don't forget about our Patreon account, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle John Wick 3 Parabellum.
Good job.
Which is everyone's favorite type of mushrooms.
There you go.
So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, you've been warned. All black, one
gunman. He knew the rules. He broke them. All black, one
gunman. You shouldn't be here. All black, one gunman. There's no escape for you. John Wick as
Batman. Rules and consequences. All black, one gunman. John Wick as Batman. All black, one gunman. John Wick. John Wick, Chapter 3.
All of this because of a puppy? It
wasn't just a puppy.
Rated R. Get tickets now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.